Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Christmas series of The Delicious Podcast with me, Jilly Smith. This week I'm talking turkey with farmer Paul Kelly, who tells me that it wouldn't be Christmas without a wild bird. Paul's bronze turkeys have been endorsed by Delia, Nigella and Jamie Oliver, not just for their excellent flavour, but for the high welfare that sets them apart from the flock. I joined him in the woods, which are home to his famous birds, and asked if this vast amount of space is all for them.
That's right. This is wood, actually, we've had this wood now for over 10 years, and this was the first woodland we used. And back then it was really pioneering stuff, because we were free-ranging our turkeys anyway, with a building and going out into the fields. And then I was thinking about it, thinking, what can we do that's better? And of course, really wild turkeys, true, they don't live in sheds with pasture. Yeah. You know, they live wild and originally in the forest of Mexico. And I was actually flying into Stansted and looked out the window and saw all these lovely pockets of woodland on farms that actually were a wasted asset. Farmers weren't doing anything with them. Yeah. And of course, that's turkey paradise. Yeah. So I came straight back and I thought, got to find a woodland locally. This is the first one, and we've had this now for 12 years. And it's lovely. It goes against all conventional wisdom and all the...
In what way?
Well, you have guidelines. It's not legislation, but guidelines and welfare. And they say that you need, for every 25 kilos of live weight, you have to provide 1 square metre of building, which I kind of get, you know, but...
Who says that?
It's welfare guidelines.
Not the turkeys.
Animal. No, not the turkeys. That's
the
exactly
turkeys
what.
Don't and like I, to be inside, do they?
And when we started to do this, you know, we got loads of trouble from lots of people saying, you know, you can't, you've got to provide the turkeys buildings. What about the rain, the wind? So I said, well, before you start preaching like this, come have a look.
Yeah.
And of course, they come up and they say, that's great. And what's bizarre is on the way up here, you know, you drive past a field full of sheep and they're all right. Yeah. Everyone's quite happy for them to be out. And the cattle, they're all right. Well, the reason turkeys have feathers, yeah, is because they wax up and they oil up and that protects them from the rain.
Yeah.
So they're not actually naturally meant to live inside little buildings.
Aren't they just like every other feathered thing, like a duck? You don't put ducks inside.
It depends on when you hatch the chicks. Okay, you could not do this with normal standard fresh turkeys that you get in the supermarket, because they don't hatch until August, September, because they're much younger at Christmas. You have to hatch the natural season as nature intended, so they hatch late spring. So you see their little babies going through late spring in the summer. So by the time they come to autumn, they're mature.
Yeah.
They've got their feathers fully developed and the fat laid down, so they can cope with inclement weather.
Yeah. The term is slow-growing as opposed to fast-growing turkeys. Now, the turkeys you get in most supermarkets will be fast-grown, kept in barns, huge barns, and will live for, what, 9 to 24 weeks or something?
Your average fresh turkey will be about 12 weeks of age. Yeah, so they hatch September time.
And these ones?
6 months.
Yeah. So they've got a lovely life for 6 months, and you grow them specifically for Christmas.
That's right, yeah. I mean, these slow-growing strains, they're expensive. You know, to grow, you just look at that, the farming costs of 6 months versus the farming costs, you know, for 12 weeks. Yeah, are huge, the food costs, the implications. But what happens is you're getting a turkey that is fully mature.
Yeah.
So it's gone through all its teenage years, it's got skeletal development, it's laid all its meat down. And finally, the last thing that happens is it lays down its fat, you know, and that intramuscular fat brings a huge amount of flavour to the carcass, and the carcass got bone marrow, it's not just cartilage. So it's all those little nuances that make a beautiful, you know, Christmas lunch. As a turkey farmer, I just makes me angry when people say...
They heard that.
Yeah. You don't know what you're saying, guys. You know, as a turkey farmer, when people say turkey's dry, it hasn't got, you know, it really winds me up, because the taste is from the maturity, which is slow growing. Because people want a 5 kilo turkey at Christmas. Well, if you're processing a turkey when it's 12 weeks, it's the right weight.
Yeah.
But it hasn't got any. It hasn't laid all its meat down,
yeah.
And its carcass hasn't fully developed, yeah. And it hasn't laid any fat down, you know. And it's all those differences that make for a wonderful meat at Christmas. combined with cooking instructions. Now, cooking instructions for turkeys are outrageous.
Go on.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, most people cremate their turkey at Christmas. If you look at the Food Standards Agency and all, you know, because they all, there's this big thing, isn't there, about cooking your turkey overnight. Getting up at 3 a.m. and cooking it long and slow for 12 hours. Well, that was right. That could have been like 300 years ago, because when people were walking turkeys to the Christmas market, if they didn't sell them at Christmas, they walk them back again. Now, once the turkey goes over 30 weeks, it starts to get tougher.
Okay.
So, back 300 years ago, if that turkey had walked to market, you know, 1 year and then gone back again and come, it had done a lot of miles, and it would have been a tough old bird. So this was to be safe and to be sure you would braise your turkey in case you got a yearling, as it was called. You don't get that anymore. There is not one turkey that is kept from one Christmas to the next. The food costs are too expensive. No one would do that. No. But these 300-year traditions that people really don't understand why, they've stuck. And, you know, when people... If you cook a turkey for 12 hours in the oven of an aga, the chances of that being good are slim or none, to be honest. You can get it right. But that's by luck rather than actual judgment.
Well, we'll talk about how you cook your turkeys later and what you do for your Christmas lunch. Oh, every time I mention Christmas, they get a little bit upset.
They do.
Guys, we're talking about your lovely lives. I do feel a bit bad standing here.
Yeah, well, I know, I would have done
it. But I don't have a turkey for Christmas. All right, guys?
Is that a cheer?
Was that a cheer? Let's talk about the story of Kelly's Turkeys. Your parents started the family business back in the 80s, going out on a limb to do something radically different in the
Yeah, no, that's right. Actually, it was 1971 when my father first started the business. Back then, we were producing, you know, I was, what, 98 years old, producing nice white turkeys, you know, slow-growing breed and plucking them and putting them into the Smithfield market that butchers bought from. But... supermarkets were taking over, so our traditional market, which were independent butchers, you know, they were going to Smithfield Market to buy their turkeys. Less and less butchers, yeah. And then in the early 80s, there was a massive oversupply on Smithfield Market, so prices crashed and we were pretty much bust, you know, for all intents and purposes. So we had to do something radically different. So I went off to America and studied, worked on probably the best turkey breeder in the world, Paul Orlott, and worked with him, learning about breeding turkeys. Dad went around the country and bought the last remaining flocks of bronze turkeys, brought them back to the farm, about 280 of them. We put them together, so it was me, mum, dad, my sister, and two others. And we launched the Kelly Bronze in 1984, without any money. We knew in our heart of heart it was the right thing to do, but I have to say, I think from 1984... to 88 were probably the worst years of my life, because it was, you know,
it's not an easy choice to do the right thing, is it?
No.
But you know, you have a guardian angel in Delia Smith.
I know, yeah, but Delia came to the farm in 1989, saw what we were doing, you know, loved what we were doing, and then she put us in her Christmas book, and suddenly we were taken seriously. Suddenly everyone, that was great, actually, because then the phone started to ring, rather than me going around to butchers and trying to sell these. In my heart of heart, it was the right thing for them to do.
Yeah.
You know, they had to do something different. We were free ranging, we were drug free, we were bronze turkey, we were dry plucking them, we were doing everything that the supermarkets were not.
Yeah.
Then Delia endorsed it, and boom. What was that? Something made them jump. It wasn't Delia.
Responsive, aren't they? So Delia came along, the Delia effect. It's quite extraordinary what effect one person's patronage
can have,
followed by Jamie, of course. Jamie did a programme here.
Kill It, Cook It, Eat It.
Which was actually a very early exploration of what happens in the slaughterhouses.
Yes.
He was on a mission to try and show people where food actually came from.
That's right.
It feels like a long time ago that he even had to do that, but...
It was probably getting on for 10 or 12 years.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the Jamie effect, and of course Nigella writes about it as well.
Yeah. Oh, we've been, you know, I say lucky, you know, you make your own luck, do you? I mean, but if you do the right thing, that was, you know, in the 80s when it was horrible. Yeah, because we didn't have any money, and we knew we were doing the right thing. But when we felt really as if we're, you know, is this really going to work? Because you need in any business, even though we're a small family business, you need a critical mass for it to work. And we weren't there, and we were struggling and just working all hours, God sent, to make this work. But then I don't resent any of it, because now, of course, I wake up every morning and think, how lucky am I?
No, it's a wonderful story. Tell me what happened in 2017 when activists said that they had found video footage of dead turkeys in sheds.
Oh, it's horrible. And I mean, I would say that's... Disease is the biggest single threat to our business, you know, but the media, especially with social media now, because you know what, for all the will in the world, if you can make a farm look bad. You know, if you take a few dead turkeys and put them on the ground, it looks horrendous and there's nothing you can do with it.
Is that what happened? They planted dead turkeys?
Well, you know, the vets came along, independent vets came along after, you know, and if we were doing something wrong, we would have been prosecuted, and we weren't. It was very obvious. You know, the turkeys, when they're up to 5 weeks of age, they have to be grown in sheds.
Right.
You know? It's not until they're off heat, you know, which has then been away from Mother Nature's... Well, yeah, we have all our breeding stock in sheds. You can't let our breeding stock outside, because they would be, we wouldn't be in the poultry welfare scheme. So then we wouldn't be allowed to sell outside the county in the country. So, and you know what? Hidden cameras now, technology. If you have a camera on a farm, in a shed, 24/7, there will be something at some point in time in livestock farming that doesn't look nice. Right? But you know, like in this shed, you know, this is wonderful. But there will be turkeys over the next few weeks that will get pecked and bullied. Right? And I would have to come in and you have to dispatch them. Right? But of course, if there's a camera up there, me coming in, seeing this turkey, just picking it up and wringing its neck, you know, that would be horrendous, wouldn't it? But of course, as a farmer, you put an animal out of its misery, and nature would be far crueler, because I would dispatch it quickly. What will happen here is, if you've got a weak one in the flock, they peck it to death. Right? And that is a long, slow, painful death. Yeah. I'll come in as a farmer, and I'm doing the right thing. But of course, if that's shown on camera, I'm not doing the right thing. What an evil man am I, going in and just picking that turkey up and killing it for fun. And it's all... I'm not saying there aren't... You know, there are situations that... You know, if you're a farmer, you know, you'd love to be there 24 hours a day, every single minute of the year, and there will be things that get missed. But if ever we see anything, you know, you put things right.
Did your type of farming have an impact more widely on the turkey industry or on the wider farming industry? That farmers are having such a terrible time at the moment with veganism, with a lack of understanding, perhaps, amongst the general public about what's really required from farming, from modern farming.
I've been very vocal about that. I've often said to the farming industry, it's much better now than it was. You know, but it seemed bizarre to me. You know, one of the big reasons that we've done so well and had lots of wonderful media and people that have endorsed us, because I've opened the farm up. And if people phone me 10, 20 years ago, can I come see the turkey? Of course you can. Well, I'll pick you up whenever you want. Let's go. I'd love to show you about. Because I have nothing to hide. Now, of course, if someone phones up, not now, but the bigger companies historically, can we come and have a look? Oh, you know, there's a panic in the boardroom. There's a PR company from London comes out and there's a big discussion and they want to see what we do. And if... In my opinion, if you're not willing to show your customer what you do, then maybe don't. You know, by default, you've got to ask yourself a question.
No, absolutely. No?
And I'm not saying that the poultry industry in the UK is one of the best in the world. And of course, we have
pecked by a turkey. I already said I'm not going to have turkey for Christmas. All right.
See the shiny bits. Yeah. No, I've often, you know, in the industry, the British industry, this type of production is very expensive.
Yes.
Very expensive, and not everyone, you know, we're in that luxury market where the people can afford this, but this kind of turkey are very lucky. You have to have something to feed the nation, and we can't do that in this way. You do have to have, you know, the intensive sector, and in my opinion, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but it has to be managed and done very, very well.
Yeah. What about grain? What do you feed them, organic grain?
No, our wheat isn't necessarily organic. The only difference between what we do and organic is that the wheat may or may not have been sprayed at any point in time. But you see, this kind of production, this is not organic. We wouldn't get approved to do this organic, because we need to have a building to go with it.
Well, exactly. But there's a kind of a midway, isn't there, we've called agroecology, which is the kind of the non-certified organic. It's the good way of farming.
And that has always been my opinion on it, that organic's great and free range is great, but you know, you can use all these fancy words, but it's got to be within the spirit of things. And you know, we can produce organic turkeys and free range way cheaper than a Kelly Bronze.
Yeah.
But it might, that's what I want to do, because it wouldn't be growing it long enough in the way I want to do. Yeah, and the feed necessarily wouldn't be the right formulation for what we want to do, because we use, you know, we use actually whole oats in our ration that are fed raw from the field.
Yeah.
And turkeys love oats, and it produces a great finish. She really does like you.
You really like me, don't you? I'm very touched. Thank you. Pecking away at me. The livestock argument.
Yep.
A lot of people are turning to vegan. What's your argument when people say livestock is contributing to greenhouse gases?
I think there's no doubt it does. You know? And I think, you know, beef has a, you know, pretty high carbon footprint, and we're huge beef eaters. On behalf of the poultry industry, poultry is the best of the lot. You know, you've got poultry and fish, it is the best of the lot. But, you know,
As long as it's free range.
But to say that we shouldn't eat meat, I think that's wrong. Should we eat less meat? Yes, I think we should. Mm. I think we should be, you know, there's far too many people just have too much meat. You know? And I don't eat meat every day. There'll be plenty of days I'll just eat vegetables, because it's a balanced diet, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the meat I do eat, I want to know where it's come from. And, you know, it's going to be bred genuinely with a bit of passion behind it. You know, it's not hard.
One of the good things about livestock is that they poo and wee on the land.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for the land, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, that's what this woodland here, you see, these turkeys will come in late June, and this was just full of nettles, yeah? And they've just eaten all of that. These will be going out at the end of November into lairage, and of course, so we've got all the winter will come along, so the hard winter will kill any of the microbes or the parasites that are in the ground. Then everything will grow back up, and then we release the turkeys back into here in June, July. And they've been here for 11 years, and it's just, you know, it's great.
And, of course, it increases the biodiversity in that you get lots of little insects eating all the poo and stuff.
Yeah.
So although you're not organically certified, you don't use any pesticides on this land, the turkeys are not pecking at grass that has been sprayed.
Yeah, no, this hasn't had any artificial fertiliser or any spray on it for 12 years now.
After the break, Paul tells me how to cook a Christmas wild bronze turkey.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I do a lot of masterclasses, and I always say that there is no one right way or wrong way of cooking a turkey. There's hundreds of different recipes and ideas. It's all about time and temperature. The higher the temperature, the lower the time. Yeah, the lower the temperature, the longer the time. So what I always say is keep it simple. You know, and if you get one of these types of birds that is fully mature, that's got all intramuscular fat, it's got a great covering of skin and intramuscular fat, it's got lots of bone marrow, it's got great carcass deposition, you can just keep it simple. Now, all this thing about basting a turkey and putting tin foil over it and then adding stock cubes, all that came about as all poultry, and not just turkeys but chickens, as they were being killed younger and younger and younger, you've got a lot less fat, a lot less flavour, Yeah, so you put the tin foil over it to keep the moisture in, because the fat isn't there, right? And then you baste it, you know, and you put butter under the skin because, you know, nothing's there. So you have to give it some help. And then a stock cube, of course, because it's okay, it hasn't got any bone marrow or carcass, so you need to add a stock cube to it to give it some flavour. If you get one of these birds, you put it pressed down in the oven, season it with salt and pepper, because most of the fat deposits are in the back. So for the first hour, that fat's rendering down through the breast. After an hour, you turn it over. Yeah. And then after about half an hour after that, you put the meat thermometer in that we supply, and when it's up to temperature, you take it out. So it's a great analogy for me is treat it like a big chicken. Those people get freaked about cooking their Christmas turkey. All it is, guys, especially with one of these, it's just a big chicken. You just put it in the oven, and with the meat thermometer, when it's at the right temperature, you take it out. One important point I should say is always put a pint of water in the bottom of the roasting tin. That's not to keep it moist or anything like that, but what that does do is catch all the wonderful juices that you're going to get out of this bird, and then you will have a stock that you do not need to add anything to.
Yeah.
I know, no bisto or gravy.
Yeah. I mean, it is important, though, when you talk about a big chicken. I mean, a big chicken is artificially fed, and because...
And they're grown longer, yeah, that's right, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, the point of these is that they are the right weight. When people are looking at a weight of a turkey, give us three things to look for when they're choosing their turkey, if they can't afford a Kelly's Bronze.
Okay. Well, you want to really... It's look at the skin. If it's got a nice creamy white skin, and if you can see some subcutaneous fat in there, that's a good sign. That means there's a bit of maturity there. And also, if the breastbone is really prominent in the bag, yeah, that means it's been killed very, very young. Yeah, because it hasn't had time for the breast meat to fill out. So it's just looking for if the breastbone is really prominent, it's killed young. And there's nothing wrong with eating that, you know. But you know, and I always say, if you're going to spend 20 quid on the turkey, don't expect, you know, some festive delight. That's not going to happen, right? It can't.
Yeah.
But so it's just looking for maturity. So it's, you know, fat under the skin, a nice creamy skin colour, and a breastbone that isn't too prominent.
Yeah, lovely. Now, we're actually recording this pre-Brexit, if it happens.
Yeah.
What would be the impact on you?
If we didn't have access to the European labour market, I have, you know, we've looked at it, and we would downsize this business by 80%, 70%, 80% at least, to what myself, the family, and a few other, you know, our key full-time staff, but without seasonal labour, you know, we're plucking turkeys for 6 weeks of the year.
Yeah, so. And why don't local people want the job?
Well, if I go back to when I was a boy, you know, 40 years ago, the whole village would come and pluck turkeys. We got most of our turkeys plucked in the evenings at weekends. So after work, and of course, the school kids could come, and we'd all be earning lots of money, and, you know, we were earning a lot of money then. You know, if you were a fast plucker, you could earn a lot of money.
I mean, do you pay well enough for local people to want it?
Local people don't want it. It's not about money. It's about I'm not doing that job. You know? And now if I look at my, you know, all of my children have gone to university, and they're going to come out and they're like, pluck turkeys. You know, I think the younger generation of Brits coming out, they're looking for management roles and the service industry, and, you know, it's not about getting your hands dirty and plucking turkeys at Christmas. And of course, we can only offer 6 weeks work. You know, come January, we haven't got any work, so it's very, very seasonal. And even, you know, without the Eastern European, I just get chest pains thinking about it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we are in the run-up to Christmas now.
Yeah.
The story of Brexit has been rumbling on for 3 years. How have you been able to plan?
Well, we've had the same crew come back to us for the past 15, 20 years. You know, since the early 90s, when those doors opened, it's revolutionised. You know, it changed our business. We've got definitely till 2000, and we've got another two Christmases without any doubt. And the policy at the moment is, if you are an EU national and you're going to stay in the UK for less than 3 months, you're allowed to work. If you want to go over 3 months, then you have to apply for a visa, and then you'll have to be, you know, rated with what kind of profession you're in and if we actually need you. Yeah. But the demand for, and it really annoys me as well when people say unskilled workforce, the people plucking turkeys and packing our turkeys, it's a skilled job. Mm. And these people have been trained for 5 years, 15 years, so it's not a matter of just, you know, anyone can do it. They really can't. It's skilled labour. And we pay well. It's not all about minimum wage. We give bonuses and we provide accommodation at really good rates, so people are taking a lot of money home in their pockets at the end of those weeks' work. So people say you should pay more. It's not about pay. It's not about pay at all. It's about people genuinely wanting to come and do the job. And I say, anyone anyone that's in the UK that wants to work has a job. That's my opinion. I know round here, just for trying to get a panel, it's a nightmare. They're just not out there. So this is my little test pen. Now this is my pen. So you've got Bourbon red turkeys here, some red turkeys. You've got bronze here. You've got Narragansetts. You've got these white, that white colour there. Yep. When that hatched, for the first 5 weeks of its life, it was brown. Then they joined. So it just all about feather colours, you see. But
yeah.
The original, that's the bronze here. You can see the feathers.
Yeah,
the bronze.
Beautiful
here. That is the original feather colour. Every other colour you see here is a mutation of that bronze feather gene.
And of course, it looks like the original Thanksgiving turkey.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly. Because that's what it was.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Boys and girls, you don't put the boys down at Bath?
No. You can see here, you've got the bronze, they're strutting. They mm-hmm. might just be, they're getting to the age now, because only the males gobble. They're getting to the age, but see if we can get them to gobble. There we go, you see.
You're speaking turkey.
You'd never guess what I said.
Thanks for listening to The Delicious Podcast. Next week, I'll be back with New Zealand chef Peter Gordon, who cooks up what he just can't do without on his Christmas table.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.